Philippians 3, in your NIV version, it'll be like this. Not that I have already attained, Paul writes, obtained all this, or already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And then a verse to go on with that is Philippians 4:13. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. So these two portions of Scripture give us a look into the whole mindset of a graduation of sorts. What Paul is talking about is a building in life towards graduating. A graduation that he is talking about of heaven. That call to live life in Christ to that ultimate graduation of finally reaching that goal in Christ of heaven in Christ Jesus. So, there's a series of graduations we go through in life. The first one is very simple. Well, we graduated, okay, life. Where do we go from here, Jamie? Okay, where do we go from here? Well, the only advice I have for everybody who's graduating or everybody who has ever graduated or everybody who's sitting here today, if you got that question going through your mind right now, as I do on an almost daily or hourly, minutely basis, is ask God, where do we go from here? First series of graduation is birth. We are actually born into this life, and that's a graduation. We are no longer non-existent. We exist. We become a part of this life and all the bonuses and all the negatives of it. All the things that go along with it. That means that we, by birth, lay hold of the promise that Jesus has for us that we have a hope in Christ. We have the hope of salvation. But the biggest thing is we are born into a sinful state. Every child is born a sinner. It's not like you are born clean and you start sinning and you end up sinful. But let me clarify. A child is not responsible for that sinfulness that they're born into because they are not in a ability of consciousness to be able to ask for forgiveness until they come to an age of accountability. So they are still under God's grace. So if a child is born and dies at an age at which they are unable to, for themselves, choose God, God, in His grace, takes them to be with Him. That is when a child is under God's grace. And when that stops happening is different for each child because each child is different in their understanding ability and their comprehension ability and everything. But the Jews understood it to be more along the age of like 11, 12 years old is when they actually became more of a adult thinking person. That's when they actually more became able to choose for themselves. That's when they had the bat mitzvah, bar mitzvahs, and things as far as celebrations of when they chose, came into manhood or womanhood. That's when they would cross over into that age of accountability for themselves. That's when they were free thinking. That's when they were of themselves. As far as children under that age, they're under God's grace. God shields them under his wings, and anything happens to them until they reach an age of which they're able to really discern for themselves, boom, they're immediately ushered into heaven. And that's something that's important to emphasize, because there are a lot of people that say, well, if you have this whole thing, well, you have to confess, you have to believe and everything. Well, God is not holding that a strict accountability to the books on every individual. He does have a thing called grace to those who are not able to discern for themselves what is right and what is wrong. That goes also for people who are not mentally capable and are born in a state by which they are unable ever in life to discern for themselves right or wrong. So, if someone is mentally unable to ever discern for themselves right or wrong, they remain in that state of grace under God's grace, that if and when they ever die, they still remain in God's grace, and boom. So, that's a tough thing for people to understand, a tough thing for people to actually talk about, and I appreciate your understanding. Series of graduations. When a child gets older, they start to graduate into a sense of being able to communicate, talk. They are able to communicate with their eyes, with their cries and everything, but then they cross over that plane. They graduate into that, I can actually verbally tell you what I need. And these things also have spiritual correlations. There are also spiritual correlations to these things. There is a graduation, spiritual birth, like I told the children up here. There's a spiritual birth where children, adults, come to that state of, Jesus, I need you. I'm a sinner. And we are born that second birth, into that second birth. And that's a graduation into the spiritual realm of salvation. And then that talking. There's a time at which where we're not necessarily able to communicate that well with God, except for just with our pains, our hurts, and that's wonderful that the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit hears our moanings and our groanings of our heart and takes them and translates them to God for us. That's wonderful. But then there comes a time where in our growth as a person, as a Christian, that we are more able to actually verbally pray. Maybe out loud, maybe just quietly in our heart. Some of us just will never be able to verbally pray out loud because that's just not our personality. God just didn't create us to be a person who feels comfortable speaking out loud in front of a group of people. And that's all right. There's nothing wrong with you if that's just the way it is. But you can still verbally communicate with God in your heart, right? And quietly by yourself, maybe at home, it's out loud, but it's not necessarily in front of a group of people. That's a graduation. That's a time where your communication with God takes on a whole new level, a whole new meaning. Not that he wasn't listening to you and able to hear you before, but it's like a parent when they see your child start to talk for the first time. God gets excited when you take these first words, these spiritual steps, and moving right into that, walking. When you're able to walk as a child, that's an exciting time. The first steps are an enormous thing in the life of a child. And as a child of God, when you're starting to be able to walk in God's knowledge and in God's grace and stop hesitating so much, but start to get a knowledge of what His Word says and what He wants for your life, and start to be able to walk in that knowledge more so, and stop walking in the knowledge of what you used to know and what you used to live in, and start walking in a different direction, boy, that's something God's just elated about. He says, yes, you're born again. Yes, you're talking with me and everything, but now you're starting to walk with me. Come to Daddy. Down on his knees. Walk to Daddy. Come on, you can do it. And just as much as that little kid takes those first couple steps and stumbles over. Oh, that was great. You did wonderful. Come on. I'll come over and pick you back up. Come on now. Walk to Daddy again. Walk to Daddy again. School. It's another graduation. It's the one you guys are going through right now. There's steps throughout school. You graduate from kindergarten. Well, preschool is a big one now for a lot of kids. Now, those little preschool graduations, it's so cute to see those kids in those little paper hats and caps and everything. And you see them in kindergarten have the little caps and gowns on them and everything. It's so cute. And then you have them go from elementary school over to the middle school. Boy, Emily was excited last year when she got to go to the next school. She's already talking about how many more years it is before she goes to the high school. Wow. It's a big deal. And that's how excited we ought to be about the whole thing that God tells us about not staying on the milk, but striving to be on the meat. And in God's Word, we should be looking for more meat, growing in God's knowledge, growing in the knowledge of Him, growing in what we know each day, living in all the light that we have, and each day striving for more light. And that's what school's all about. It's about, yeah, taking every opportunity to go to the Bible studies that we can get to, taking every opportunity to go to Sunday school, taking every opportunity to get to church, taking every opportunity to go to vacation Bible school, taking every opportunity to go to the different Bible functions or whatever, that seminars or whatever that you can get to, conferences, whatever you want to call it. Not just that, but the things like going to those things like Ken Davis. Because those things are spiritually enriching too. They're not just fun. Those things are edifying to the body. Those things are enriching to the soul. Those things aren't just jokes and songs. Those things are there for the enrichment of the body of Christ. God has people in different ministries because different people are reached by different means. Different people are able to be reached in different times of their lives by different means. Certain people are spoken to more by sermons that are more analytical and more just boom, 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 right down the line, A, B, C, D. Certain people are reached by visual items. Certain people are more reached by humor. Certain people are more reached by songs. And God knows this because, after all, He created us. So, go to school. Go to school. Don't do drugs. Been hearing it all our lives, haven't we? I have. Not that I've always listened. But, graduation, driving. Now, some of us, we graduate from driving before we get out of school, like I did. But then you live right across the street from the school, so you don't get to drive to school. That bummed me out. Right across the street from the school, so I don't get to drive back and forth to school. You guys, now I'm going to have to deal with Emily, because we live 20 miles from the high school almost. It's like, okay, my daughter's going to be driving back and forth to high school. They got a bus, Emily. But it's one of those things where it's not just a graduation that you can think of here. It's one of those things that correlates to one of those spiritual things that's more deep in meaning. God has taken and given you a specific task in life. He's gifted you in a specific way. Like maybe leading a Bible study, leading a Sunday school class, leading a women's group or something like that. He's gifted you in that way. He's trained you in that way for a long time. And then all of a sudden he says, here's your license. Now, with it come an immense amount of responsibilities. And remember, not only are there an immense amount of responsibilities, but if you violate those responsibilities in any way, that license can do a lot of damage. So don't misuse it. Pastors can do that too. Graduations, family. Graduate from family. You grow up and get to be 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 28. Well, no, it wasn't 28. 28 was when I left my family back in Baltimore. It was 25, 24, 25 years old when I finally moved out of my mother's house. So, guys, girls who are at that 24, 25 mark and still maybe living in your parents' house, or kids that aren't quite that old and still not out of your mom's house, 25, 24 is not too bad. You can still live in mom and dad's house. Mom, dads, don't get mad at me for saying that. They still love you. But when you get out on your own, remember, you have a lot more responsibility. And the only one you have to answer to isn't just yourself. You still have to answer to God. You do still have to answer to your parents, because they are going to be checking up on you. These things, sure, there's going to be some freedom. But I tell you what, after I left my mom's house and everything, I felt wonderful about it. I felt like I was also freeing her of a great pain in the bottom, because I wasn't there all the time causing her headache and heartache that I didn't necessarily understand all the time. But I wasn't there for her to worry about. But then I realized that when I was gone, she worried more about me. Call me all the time. My mom would still call me every day if I... What? She does. If I was around to answer the phone all the time at home when she called. Now she doesn't necessarily call the cell phone all the time as like she did. But she calls the house and leaves a message. But it's because she loves me. It's because she cares about my family. But that's important. And that's an important lesson. Because family, God is the head of our family. Jesus is the head of our family here at the church. And daily communication with him is important. Not only to let him know how much you love him, but to help you have the guidance and direction you need in life. To help me have the guidance and direction I need in life. To help the church have the guidance and direction it needs in life. I am not the only one that needs to be praying for guidance and direction of the church. You all need to be praying for that too. That God would help guide and direct me in whatever I need to be doing for the church, but also everybody else who helps influence those decisions, which is all of you. So, family, and also sometimes we graduate from families, like there are going to be some young people here that are graduating and going on to college. They're not going to be a part of our local fellowship here at Bangor Liberty Friends all the time, but we'll see them when they come back home. And we need to pray that they would find a local fellowship wherever they're going to college that they would be able to be a part of, so that they would not miss out on that much-needed spiritual nurturing, that they would be adopted into another family while they're away from us. Work. Graduate from work. Work your life, entire life, whether it be as a homemaker, housewife, whatever you want to call it, or whether you work in a job, there comes a time when you retire. You graduate into the realm of retirement. And some say that you work more when you retire than you did when you were working. But there are some, like Bess and Kenny, have said to me on occasion that I feel like I can't do anything. I feel like I am not able to do as much as I used to. And I've emphasized to them so many times, as much as I can, that you have a great ministry, because they tell me how much they pray. Do you know how important that is, Bess? Because I don't think there is, not that I'm putting anybody down here, I don't think there is anybody here that prays as much as they do for us as a church, for us as individuals, for me as a pastor. And that's a great ministry. If you ask me, that's more important than what they were doing physically, manually, when they were able to, through the years. Because it has spiritual impact, emphasis. So, they are working harder in their retirement. They just don't necessarily realize it. And finally, graduate from life. Graduate from life, and we graduate into a wonderful retirement package. You already got the wonderful condo being built for you. Jesus' own hands laboring night and day to build it for you, specifically tuned to your needs, your likes. He says, I'm building it for you. I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you. It's not that I want to go see that place that he's making for me, but I want to go see him. I want to go see those who have gone on before me. We graduate from this life, whether we have that hope or not. That's one of those things that has that correlation, spiritual implication. We graduate from this life into a spiritual existence of hope or despair. And the choice is ours to make here, now, as we live through these other series of graduations. We can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. So where do we go from here? Hopefully we'll live a life that leaves a legacy in our family, in our church, in our friends, and those who knew us will have kind things to say about us. And we'll know that we knew that we knew Jesus. By the way we lived.